Lord laid a thought on me earlier in the week as I studied and come across something. It's in very familiar scriptures, and I guess I saw something in it I never saw before. And it's been a blessing to me this week as I've tried to study on it and meditate on it. Got to go hunting a little while yesterday morning. That's some of my favorite time to pray and talk to the Lord. When I get out and spend a little time just me and Him, it's good to see deer and all that stuff, but to me, it really is about the time that you spend with God. I love that. But y'all pray for us so that we might be able to. I always say I want to slow down, and I really feel like He'd have me to slow down on this. Might have to do quite a bit of reading, but I want us to get it. I want to get it. And I pray today that you would get it also. My thought is, follow thou me. And a whole lot of me to do with Peter. But I hope we can see something in that. We're going to have a baptizing here after a while, about 3 o'clock. Had one to unite with the church last week by the way of baptism. I want to do better at following the Lord. I don't know about you. I think a lot of you do too. I think you want to be closer to Him, and you want to follow Him. One place it says, come after me, is what He told them. Come after me. We realize today if we're not willing to forsake everything, families, homes, mothers, children, brothers and sisters, we're not worthy of Him. And I'm going to tell you that a lot of that's a lot easier said than it is done. But y'all pray for us. We're going to take very familiar reading out of Matthew chapter 4, and then we're going to read around different places. Like I said, some of it's going to be to do with Peter, and some of it won't be directly to do with Peter, but it has to do with following the Lord. And the 18th verse of the 4th chapter of Matthew is when the Lord called Peter and them to be fishers of men. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea. They were fishers. And He said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed Him. And going from thence, He saw other two brethren, James and the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in the ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And He called them, and immediately they left the ship and their father and followed Him. And I want to go over here. It's different places in the scriptures you can find this account, but I like this one right here. For some reason, the Lord always leads me to come to read in Luke chapter 9. I do with those that we normally talk about having excuses and not following the Lord. But we find where the Lord came walking there by the Sea of Galilee, and He called Peter and his brother. And they dropped their nets and just followed after. Then He called John and James, the son of Zebedee, and they was there with their father, and they just stopped mending their nets and just dropped everything and followed right after Him. And I think about every time that it comes down to following the Lord, it's not always going to be easy. I'm going to tell you that right now. I think people get some kind of sense. But when they get saved by God's grace, they unite with the church, they begin to follow the Lord, everything from then on is just going to be a bed of roses. But it's not going to be that way. We find when Jesus was baptized, after He was baptized, He was tempted of the devil, led up by the Spirit and tempted of the devil 40 days and 40 nights. So does the devil come after Him? He's going to come after me and you too. So it's not always going to be easy to follow the Lord. And there's going to be some things that come up that you're going to think, this don't make sense. I'm not able to do this. When He called me to preach, I didn't think it was no way no way on God's green earth that I could ever do that. I didn't think there's no way, and I can't do it. But with Him, we can. And that's what we've got to understand. You can follow Him if you hang on to Him. So if we'll grab a hold and just be willing to follow after Him, He can take us all the way. And I think about the things that people that have suffered and went through. There's some of you that's went through a lot more than me. There's some that's been willing to give. I think about Paul Bryson. Now, not to build Paul Bryson up, but he had these chicken farms down in Georgia. He had these chicken houses. This man was doing well. He sold everything he had, give it to God, and took off and just followed Him, left his home, his family, left everything behind. I've seen men load up. I've seen Doug Curtis when I was a boy. He just loaded up an old U-Haul truck and took his family and headed to Ohio. And I was just thinking, why in the world would you do this? Why would you take my friend and go off to Ohio? He followed the Lord. And I'm going to tell you that probably wasn't easy. There's others. I could go on and on. Men today that we support that's been willing. Men and women have followed God and done exactly what the Lord would want them to do. But it ain't always going to be easy. In the 10th chapter of Luke, in the 57th verse, it said, it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee wheresoever thou goest. This man volunteered for it. He's following on. He said, Lord, I'm just going to follow you wherever you go. And he said unto him, Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and birds have air and have the air have nests, but the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. And then he called one here. The next thing you'll say, just like with Peter and him, it said, and he said unto another, this is Jesus, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And listen, that was a good excuse. I want you to think about this. Just take it after the Lord and doing what He said. Don't you take no money with you. Don't you take a coat. Don't take nothing to eat. I'm going to provide for you. You think about this. And when you get to that point, He says, you just go and don't worry about it. I've got you and I'm going to take care of you. That's what He's telling these men here. And I want you to know it's harder to do than what you think it is. A lot of people think this, it's going to be easier. I'll do it, Lord. I'll follow you. That's what that person said. I'll follow you wherever thou goest. He said, listen to me. Before you follow me, the birds have nests and the foxes have holes, but I don't have no place to lay my head, and neither are you going to. This ain't our home. We're pilgrims traveling through here. And when we get down in our head that Rocky 719, old Rocky Mountain Road is not my home. Honey, I'm traveling through. That's a place I rest my head. I'm thankful I got it. That's more than he ever had, and he's let me have it. But listen to me, it's not always going to be easy. Different times I drove on Sunday evenings, on Easter, I'd go by my mom and daddy and them, to my whole family be in the front yard. Our children having Easter, having their egg hunts and doing all the things, their meal and all that. I drove by on Sunday evening, different times, and come to church, have a visiting preacher. I want to tell you, that's nothing, but it ain't always easy. We'll go by and wave and blow your horn. Your mama wants you to stop and spend some time with them. They don't understand. I've not always understood. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead. But go thou and preach the kingdom of God. He called him. And another said, Lord, I will follow thee. Another volunteer, but let me first go bid them farewell with which are at home, at my home. And Jesus said to him, no man putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God.
And I want you to realize today, once you grab a hold, there's no place to turn back. Honey, he asked them one time. Some of them got offended at what he said, and they turned away and left him. And he asked them a question. He said, are you going to turn and go back too? Are you going to leave me also? And Peter said, Lord, where can we go? Thou had the words of life. There's nowhere else for us to go. Listen, once you grab a hold, listen to me, when you grab a hold of that plow and start following after him, don't turn back.
There was one we call the rich young ruler, and I want you to know I believe his heart was sincere. I believe he had a desire to follow after God. I believe he thought he'd done a lot of right things, and I'm going to tell you, I believe he had. I believe in his mind he felt like he'd kept the law. He was doing the best he could, but he'd come up short. You'll find that in Matthew 19, and we'll get to where I thought is in a little while. But I want to lay some groundwork. I want to slow down a little bit. I want you to understand what it's like to truly be willing to follow after God and what you might have to suffer when you do. But I want you to know someday after a while it'll be worth it all. And behold, one came to him and said to him, this is in Matthew 19 and 16, and this, you find this account in different places, but this is the one I'm reading. Behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said, and I don't believe he was being a smart aleck, I believe he wanted to know. He said unto him, which? And Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself. And the young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. And I really believe in his mind he felt like he had. And what lack I yet? He wanted to know. And Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell what thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have a treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. I doubt here you have another. We had some was worried about burying his daddy. We had some was worried about telling his family goodbye. There was one I no doubt got concerned that he wasn't going to have a place to lay his head and all the things that he might need along the way. Now we got another young man here. Jesus told him, he said, you just go sell what you got. If you won't have life, thou'll be perfect. He said, you go sell what you got. And he said, then you come and follow me. And it said he went away sorrowful because he had many great goods. He had a lot of stuff. So he wasn't willing to give up what he had, just like the others wasn't willing to give up. There's been times, boy, I want to tell you right now, it's been hard. I've sold my business. I give my business up. I ain't give up nothing like some, but I want you to know you're going to have to give some things up. If you're going to follow after him and truly serve him, you're going to have to suffer a little bit. If you're going to plan on being a joint heir with Christ, there takes some suffering. And that's something Peter had to learn. I want you to know, he dropped his dad. He gave his wife up. You say he didn't have a wife. Yes, he did. Matthew 8 and 14, Jesus went in and healed Peter's mother-in-law. He had a wife. He was willing to walk away from his home, his family. Now, I want you to know that ain't easy to do.
It ain't easy. I've seen men willing to do it, willing to give up all that they have just for the Lord's sake. You better be careful what you say, Eagle, today. I hear people saying all the time, well, I'll do this, I'll do that. I say, if it be the Lord's will, I'll do this and I'll do that. I want to tell you, when you jump up and say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, you may get your opportunity to find out just what you are. In the 13th chapter of John, this is when I started catching a little bit on to something I never saw before. And you may not be able to see it. You may not even, you may just think I've lost it. And I don't believe I have. When God shows me something, whether you ever see it or not, it's still my conviction that He shows me different. But this is where Peter steps up and says what he'd be willing to do. The Lord had commanded them to love one another in this 13th chapter. They'd had a foot washing. It looks as if they had the Lord's Supper there. In the 36th verse, I want to pay attention. Go to chapter 13 of John. Read this with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, whither thou goest, whither goest thou? Simon Peter asked the question, Lord, where goest thou? I believe he was sincere and he wanted to know. And Jesus answered him, whither I go, that canst not follow me. I want you to know this has been a man that's been willing to leave his job. He was a fisherman for trade. This is how he fed his wife. This is how he took care of his family. He dropped it all and he followed right after him. And he said, where are you going, Lord? Where are you going? And he told him, he said, where I go, you can't follow me. Not now. Listen, that's the key. Not now. And it's a lot further, more there than I first thought. And that's what I want to get to. But he said, but you can't go with me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. And listen, Peter said unto him, Lord, why can't I follow thee now? He loved him. This was a man that jumped out of a boat and swam 200 yards to get to the Lord. This was a man that couldn't walk on water but said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. And he said, come, and just stepped out on water. This is a man that loved Jesus. And he was sincere in what he was saying. I want to go with you. I'll follow you wherever you go. Ain't that kind of what Elisha told Elijah earlier, brother? He said, and Peter said to him, Lord, why can't I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. He answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow until thou hast denied me thrice. In other words, you're going to deny me three times before the cock crows, and we find that to be true. We find Peter in a place. He got to a place that he was sitting by the campfire with the world, and some woman come up and said, you're one of them. You walked with him. You followed out this man named Jesus, and he cussed. Yes, this man cussed. He was to a point. Hey, listen to me. He got to himself to a place. But listen there, he couldn't follow him now. And that's the key to all this. And I always thought it had to do with just going to heaven. The Lord said, I'm going to heaven. You can't come right now. And you may see it all just that way because you go into the next chapter. But listen, that was more than he couldn't follow him. There was something that he couldn't do right then. But afterwards, you're going to get your chance. You're going to have an opportunity to follow me all the way. And that's what I've never seen before. You know, this 14th chapter, you go for the 13th. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe in me, also in me. In my Father's house, there's many mansions. And if there were not so, I would have told you, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's all I ever saw in it. I thought that's all he was talking about. Peter, you can't go with me to heaven now, but afterwards you can. And boy, it makes all sense, don't it? You go right in the next, and he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And he said, where I am, you can too. But I believe it's much more than that. Peter told him, he said, I'll follow you to death. He told over in Matthew's gospel, I believe it was, he said, though all men may deny you, he said, I won't. I'll never deny you. And the Lord had an opportunity to remind him of that three times. And we're going to go read that. And then we're going to catch on to something I never saw before. I'd never caught on to this before, and it blessed my heart to know that Peter had an opportunity. He had an opportunity to do what God and Jesus had told him he would do. And he wasn't going to deny him. I can't prove it in Scripture, but history says it's true, and I believe it. But listen to me. If we're going to go over and we're going to read how Jesus had done been crucified. He had done been placed in the grave. He had done resurrected. He had come back to the Sea of Galilee. He found Peter and him. Peter said, I go fishing. He went back to what he'd done before. He was out there on the water and they'd fished all night long. And Jesus comes walking up out there out of the same Galilee that he'd met him before. And he walks up there and he said, have you caught anything? Are you having any luck? Is the way we put it. And they said nothing. He said, cast your net on the other side. And John recognized it to be the Lord. And he said, it's the Lord. And Peter was naked. He jumped off in the water. That's all I ever got out of it. I thought he was ashamed because he was naked. And then it would find they caught this net full of fish. And then it says when the rest of them were riding a ship. Peter didn't jump off in the water because he was ashamed. He didn't have time to wait on them to get there in the boat. He jumped off through the water because he loved him. He wanted to be with him. He knew what he'd done. He knew he'd denied him. And he wanted to get to him. He wanted to get to the one he loves. Who's the one you love? I want you to know today you'll get a chance as you follow after him to prove how much you love him. So he was still following after him. Here he comes swimming hard as he could. He gets there to him. Jesus takes those fishes that they caught and they brought and he prepares them and feeds them there. And then Jesus asked him a question. He said, Simon Peter, son of Bar-Jonah, he said, lovest thou me? And Simon Peter, just like always, yea, Lord, I love you. He said, feed my lambs. And then he turned around and he said, Simon Peter, lovest thou me? He said, yea, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. He said, feed my sheep.
Then the Lord asked him the third time, because Jesus knew he denied him three times. And he said, Simon Peter, lovest thou me? And he said he was grievous. He done got a little mad about it. Lord, you know all things. You know I love me. He said, feed my sheep. He said, you can't go with me where I go now, but afterwards, you'll have to go there yourself. And after he told him, the last time, feed my sheep. And I'd read this, no telling how many times, over and over, but I never put it all together. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whether thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, carry thee where thou wouldest not. And when this, and you're going to end up in, going a place you own way you'd be willing to go. You wouldn't go. And then says, and he tells him, he says, this spake he, signified by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken it, he said unto him, follow me. And then Peter, turning about, saith to the disciple whom Jesus loved, followed also, leaned on his breast at the supper. This is what John done at the supper and said, Lord, which is it that I betrayeth thee? And Peter seeing him saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? In other words, I'm going to have to die this death. What about him? Have you been through something as you're following Christ? And you see everybody else just going along, and it seems like they're following Christ, and their walk with him is easy. And it just seems like every way you go, it's something in your way to keep you from being able to serve him. And you suffer things that you can't imagine. And he was telling Peter, it's time, it's coming a time that you're going to have to straightway go where I've had to go. Hey, the mother of John and James, the sons of Zebedee, asked Jesus one time. He said, and she said to them, can my sons sit by thy right side in thy kingdom? And he asked them a question. He said, can you drink of the cup I can and be baptized of the baptism I can? And they hopped up and said, we can. And he said, you can. He did. He told them. And I want you to know James died to death. He died the death of a martyr. They cut his head off. John, on that isle of Patmos, laid out yonder. So don't think you may not have to suffer. Don't think you may not have to die at the hands of the enemy because you're following after Christ. Don't think it's always going to be a bed of roses. You might have an opportunity to prove someday what you are.
Amen.
I'm just like Peter. I'd be, Lord, why my married brother over there? Why am I going to have to go through this? You don't think it ain't everybody, Brother Rick, that he had to go to Jamaica and all over the world to preach the gospel, and somebody like me pastor a church for 17 years. Don't you don't think he ain't thought, why am I having to do all this? What about Jeff Lycan standing over yonder? Sunday after Sunday, still with his family, still got his children with him. And here Peter is. I give up his family, give up his job. And now I'm going to have to die a terrible death. He told him to death he was going to die. And he done warned him before. He said, you can't go and follow me where I'm going right now. Where I'm going over here now. I can only one do this right now. You can't die for a lost and dying world. You're a man, Peter. But afterwards, you're going to get your opportunity to follow me. Jesus said unto him, and this is where we got our thought, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is it that to thee? What business is that yours, Peter? Follow thou. It got personal now. Before it was follow me. Now it's follow you, me. He asked him before, lovest thou me? Now he's saying, follow thou me. And that's the words he left him with. I won't go here now. I just want to read just a little bit of the account of James and John and what happened to Peter there. And I have to think Peter had to be thinking, this is it, boys. This has got to be it. You don't know what you're going to go through. You don't know how you're going to die. You don't know when. Peter knew how he's going to die. He just didn't know when. Now, he's a 12th chapter of Acts, it says, now about the time that Herod, the king, stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And that's what I was talking about a while ago. James did die a martyr. And because he saw it, it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further and take Peter also. Then were the days of the unleavened bread, and when he had appointed him, he put him into prison and delivered him to the four quadrants of soldiers to keep him and attending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, and prayer was made for him without ceasing in the church, and God for him. And when Herod would have brought forth, that same night Peter was sleeping and between two soldiers. Herod was fixing to kill him. And bound with two chains and the keepers before the door and kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord sent an angel. And came to him and light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and said, hey, Peter, wake up. And he raised him up saying, arise quickly. And the chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, this is where Peter might would have called on. Because Peter dressed himself. He told him earlier that somebody else would dress him. Somebody else would. But he said, gird thyself and bind thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. You don't think when he heard them words, follow me, them didn't mean something to him. I bet he was thinking, okay, Lord. He was ready to go. It says they come to the gate, and the gate just come open just like it was some kind of miracle. It still wasn't Peter's time. I'm going to tell you, until it's your time, they couldn't take Jesus' life. Do you know that? He told them different times. He said, it's not yet my hour. Until it was his time, they couldn't take his life. And they couldn't take Peter's until it was time. So it still wasn't time. And I just thought that was pretty cool how Peter, the Lord sent the angel, and Peter had to be having his mind, is this it? Is this the time? But I don't find where he fit none. He was laying there with the prisoners. He was ready to go. I was going... everybody's got near death, I guess, where they think, how in the world did I get out of this? I had a backhoe tear up one time, and I was coming to get a part at Lafayette. I got the part, and I was heading back towards home on 52, going out by Susie's Market. And I was in my car for some reason. I just went in the car because I thought it'd go faster. So that diesel Cummins, and I know you Dodge people thinking he'd go faster, but I was letting her go. I mean, I was in a hurry. Crazy. Stupid. I got there about Susie's Market, and I'd say I was running well over 100 mile an hour. Stupid. Car in front of me, just, I guess, barely going. I pull out to the left to pass that car.
And they hit their turning signal to turn left in that road right beside Susie Q's. And I was like, Jesus, end of life. I knew it was over. It wasn't nowhere to go. I hit the brakes on that thing, and I was going sideways, like it's right here, right towards them, and I was right on the gas, and I was going toward the guardrail, and that thing's just doing all this stuff. And finally, it just straightens up, and it's going down the road. And I thought, I can't drive like that. No. I promise you, there was an angel right beside me. It was not. It wasn't Peter's time. But there was going to come a time, and so will it be for me. There's going to come a time, I don't know how I'll die. If I die for his cause, I've said it over and over. People's told me time and time again, Jeff, if you keep preaching like that, you're going to die preaching. And I say, amen. I would rather die standing here telling somebody about Jesus. He's dying in that car wreck, driving like somebody in that hell don't see it. Die, have some words, I've fallen out of a near cell. I don't have a choice, but if I did, take me, Lord. You say, you better be careful saying, hey, I got somewhere else to go. This ain't 7190, I done told you ain't my home. And he may just take me that way someday. But it wasn't Peter's time. But you go and you find, read history. I can't show you the scripture. But under the emperor of Rome, Nero, I think it was around 68, some Christians, I don't know if Peter had a part in it, but they got accused of starting a fire in Rome. And the emperor took Peter to crucify. Peter said, they say history says I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Lord. So he asked them to turn him upside down. The Lord said, where I'm going, you can't follow me now. Not now, but someday. Peter, you're going to have an opportunity to follow me even to the cross. Take up the cross and follow me. And Peter had his opportunity. And I don't find nowhere in history where he done anything but humbled himself. He had another opportunity. And he came through. I asked you, are you willing to follow him? Are you willing to give up all for the Lord? Two men, actually four men, they called Peter the same way. Matthew, he said, follow me. He was out collecting taxes and just stop and follow me. There they are fishing. Jesus comes along and he says, follow me. How many times have he passed by you? And he said, follow me. And you denied him. Peter just dropped his net. And he took off. And I won't tell you, you can say what you want. When he told the Lord, I'll follow you wherever I go. He meant every word he said. But the Lord just plainly told him, you can't follow me where I'm going now. It ain't your time, Peter. So yeah, he followed him. He's going on to heaven, and I am too. But I believe he also had to follow him and die the death. The Lord told him he's going to have to die. It's easy to walk up here
Everybody thinks that's a hard part. Everybody thinks coming up here and saying, telling their testimony and saying, I want to unite with this church and going down there and being baptized. Everybody thinks that's a hard part. Well, walking out there, that's nothing. That's just starting following Him. That's just showing the world that you're a child of God, being baptized into His church and starting a journey. As hard as it was for Peter to drop his net there and take off after him, that was the easy part. It got harder. And it got harder. Even unto death. You say, well, Brother Jeff, why in the world would I want to follow the Lord then? Because He's the best friend I've ever had. I pray I'll follow Him. I talked to a brother this week talking about he may have to go to Africa. He's ready to go. I got a neighbor and a friend asked me one time we was sitting eating a meal there. Rocky Mountain's new fellowship hall. I mean, beans, taters, fried chicken, all kinds of good stuff. I just got my plate and just fixing to dig into her. He was sitting across the table and he said, will you go with me to Africa? Not a bite. Sick at my stomach. I was like, I'm just thankful Brother Bobby Hale ain't the Lord. Because I didn't have a burden to go and I couldn't. What if the Lord says, go to Africa? He might. Y'all pray for me, I'll be willing to go. So the easy part's walking up here. Being willing to deny everything else and following is the hard part. Some of you buried your family. Some of you are here today that never thought you'd be here at Hilltop. You've had to gird it up your loins and put your shoes on and come to a place you never thought you'd ever come. But you was willing to follow Him. I don't know. Someday I may have to leave here. I'll tell you what, I've said it. I don't worry about it no more. It'll suit me if I die. I'm still your pastor. Now, don't y'all think an old man. It would suit me. But when He says, and if He says, whether it's my death, or it's my time to go somewhere else. But He says, go, y'all pray for me that I'll be willing to go. I don't care nothing about sitting beside a fire with anybody else. I truly do want to follow Him. And I'm being sincere. I believe that rich young ruler was sincere. I believe Peter was sincere. I believe John and James and his mother, their mother was sincere when they said, can they sit beside you at your right side? They love you, Lord. I believe she wanted the best for her sons, don't you? And he said, can you drink of the cup that I'm able to drink? Can you be baptized in the baptism that I'm baptized of? Listen to me. It won't always be easy, but we'll all find out what we're made of. Nobody else may not have got nothing out of this but me. There had been different times this week. I preached Don't Love Us Now Me here a while back over the watermelon, and I'm sure everybody thought I was crazy. But this time, it's Follow Thou Me. It gets personal. It gets down. It ain't just, He wants the whole world to follow Him. But you know what He wants more? He wants you to follow Him. Follow thou me. Take up your cross, your portion of the cross. Walk behind Jesus and help him carry. Because listen, we're going to have to suffer. That's my thought. If you got a song, Brother Larry, if you're here today and you're lost, you say, well, why would I want to be saved? Honey, I want you to know there was a time that Peter's in rejoicing in heaven today. Amen. And all that he went through, that was one time I thought I was going to shut up. Just give me one more minute. I promise I'll shut up. That was one time they done beat him and throwed him in prison. And they said, you quit preaching this Jesus Christ. That's enough of it. Shut up. That, I don't hear it no more. We don't hear it no more. They beat him. And honey, it come to a point they was going to do it again. And Peter said, should I follow God after man or God? And you know what it said? They went out rejoicing because they was able to suffer for it. When we're able to suffer for him, there should be some rejoicing in it. He ain't meaning to try to do you harm. What he's trying to do is what Romans chapter 5 says. He's trying to get you to a point where when the next bad thing happens, that you will trust him. Every time you go in the fire, you come out stronger. You'll finally get to the point that you just say, I got confidence God's going to take care of this. I've seen that out of some of y'all. And I'm thinking, I would quit. If I was them, I'd just quit. I believe I'd quit. I'm just telling you the truth. I might as well be honest. God knows it. And y'all just keep a going. And you know what that does? That inspires me to do more. What Peter went through inspires me to do better. That's my thought. Now you can go, how will you solve?